Ancient Faith Radio now presents Approaching the Wardrobe with Jeff Wisniewski. Here, Orthodox Christians will come to better understand and relate to the not-yet-Orthodox. And the not-yet-Orthodox will find comfort and insights that will encourage them to finally and fully embrace the ancient Christian faith. Here's Jeff with today's broadcast.
And welcome back to Approaching the Wardrobe. My name is Spyridon, and I am a recovering somebody who is now glad to be a nobody in the Eastern Orthodox Christian faith. John the Dwarf, as he was known, or John the Short, translated St. John the Dwarf later, had an interesting teaching about how the spiritual life should begin. And if you know one of the accounts of his life, it is that he was at first given a small piece of wood that he was supposed to bury in the desert and water every day. And he did this for, I think it was 3 years. Finally, it sprouted and grew and turned into a tree over time. This man's life was permeated by his teachings that we must start with the small things of loving people before we can build into greater things, if there even are greater things. One of the images he gave, or illustrations I should say, is that of a house, in that we need to build a house from the foundations up, not from the top down. That was his illustration, that we cannot build a house from the upper story and then build downward. We have to build from the foundations up. And I thought that was a great image when I was interested in Orthodoxy and coming into it as a catechumen. That is, I had spent years building and doing things on that upper level of the house and needed to go back down to the foundation and rebuild the house. Rebuild the foundational aspects of my faith, get away from those more visible parts of the house, the upstairs or the outside or the roof of the house. Of course, this is an illustration of a lot of the ministry activities and things I've been doing before. They were a lot more visible, and yet I was often missing or lacking the more foundational root issues of my own walk with God and faith. When I was a college-age person and then living in this house and doing international student ministry, the owner of the house, as you may remember, was part of a parachurch organization called the Navigators. And you might know of this organization. It's a Christian ministry which started in the military and then got common on college campuses and things as well. It's more of a discipleship ministry. The founder of it, Dawson Trotman, was a great, great man who took it on himself to share the gospel with so many people every day as a spiritual discipline. He had that type of gifting, and therefore he brought many people to Christ, and he was the founder of that ministry, the Navigators. So you would basically become discipled by somebody and start memorizing scripture, setting up your quiet times, etc. You would even go through books with someone, little discipleship workbooks, have little scripture cards that you would tear out of those books in the back, and memorize certain key verses about the gospel and real basic concepts of theology and things. And so I participated in this and went through a book early on in my Christian walk. And this was very beneficial for me. I can still remember some verses from the Bible that helped me remember and understand things at key points in my life. Well, what they have right in this ministry is this kind of starting from square one, starting to develop your personal walk with God and being faithful in those things. And then, of course, out of that, you end up wherever you end up. being a parachurch organization, they are not stuck to one denomination per se, and they won't steer someone away from certain churches or not. Well, not the organization. I'm sure individuals will do whatever they're comfortable with as far as a church. But the beginnings of it are wonderful. This desire for discipleship and a walk with God before doing more or bigger things is what everybody needs, and yet it's often lacking in a lot of faith circles. One image I have always loved is the image of the ocean. And I've always loved water, and that's probably why I like to fish. Growing up in the land of 10,000 lakes, Minnesota, not to mention rivers, the water has always fascinated me, the depths of it. And then when I would travel to the ocean, as a teenager even, we would go to Mexico, to Mazatlan, Zihuatanejo, places like that. For a family vacation, we'd leave the Twin Cities in the winter there. And I remember standing by the ocean at night, contemplating things, the mystery of the ocean, feeling the waves come up about my feet, pitch black out, and just hearing that roar and that power of the ocean. It was always attractive to me. Also, later when I traveled to the ocean in California or even lived in Florida, I was always prone to take parts of certain days and try to have some alone time out by the water, either fishing or in Florida, I even kayaked. But younger, I liked to sail as well. Something about the quietness and yet the power of the wind and a sailboat and the physical challenge of it was always appealing to me. But anyone who's ever gone under the water much for snorkeling or scuba diving realizes that there's a lot more going on in the water than is realized when you're just doing things on the surface. You can play around in the waves on shore and have no clue, even 50 yards out, the incredible complexity and beauty of what's going on underneath the surface. You can even put on a mask and a breathing tube and go out around some rocks, and it'll be a completely different world as soon as you go under 1 foot below the surface. The fish you'll see, quietness and the life, the swaying of the seaweed, the currents coming in and out. All these things are going on underneath the surface that you have no clue about when you're just doing things on the surface. And so you have this contrast of worlds. You have fancy toys, boats, surfboards, whatever it is you have that you're doing on the surface. Underneath you is this magical world, and all of a sudden there's no other noises. There's just this quiet beauty going on. There's a spring-fed river in northern Florida that we lived within about an hour or less of, and it was a crystal clear river. You could go tubing down from the top of it. This river just had incredible clarity and brightness of colors of the seaweed and things. So when you're tubing, you could bring a mask and dive under and just float down with your tube above you, exploring all the depths of river life going on below you. And you could see, 10, 20 feet away. It was so clear. You'd go along and all of a sudden you'd see some huge fish that you had no clue was there when you were just tubing. I saw once a big largemouth bass, just a beautiful, probably 6 or 8 pound, just hanging out around the seaweed. And it almost scares you when you encounter something big. Those of you who've scuba dived have probably run into some pretty big fish. That can scare you as well until you realize that they're not really predators. Well, similarly in the Christian faith, there are a lot of exciting things you can do around the ocean. And the ocean to me has always symbolized God or the kingdom of God. There are a lot of things you can do. You can have a lot of fun. You can even fish. You can catch things. You can have expensive toys. You can have impressive toys. You can have entire days or months or longer of pure excitement on the water. And yet there is a lot more going on underneath that you can never even encounter if you don't go underneath the water. There's a type of fishing, when I heard about it, that fascinated me. I, of course, have done all kinds of fishing. And yet when I heard of this, this is something I to this day have not done, but I loved learning about it. It's some kind of dive fishing you can do off the coast. I think it was off of Southern California, where you go out into these deep seaweed places and you spearfish under there. However, the whole aspect of what you're doing, the whole strategy is that you completely camouflage yourself down, way down, 20 feet down even, in the midst of the seaweed while and wait completely in stillness and silence while a huge fish swims by and catch it that way. An interesting image there for me, fascinating, because it seems so simple and uncomplex. And yet when you learn about the things required to pull this off, It's pretty scary. In fact, a lot of it has to do with your breathing and how you can go down for so many minutes at a time in complete stillness before a fish will even dare to swim close enough by you for you to catch it. If you control your physical body enough to where you become one with your environment there, then the doors can open for a huge catch. And this might seem like a very crude or simple or unimpressive way to fish until you learn about what's really entailed in being successful. Not only do you have to completely master your physical activities when you do this to be successful, but there's a lot of dangers involved. Some of it has to do with rising up too quickly. Something happens in some kind of air bubble or something to where you can black out. In fact, if you try to stay under too long, as more of a newbie, people have actually died from that because they don't train their body. Or if you rise too quickly, I believe, is the real danger. That's when you can black out, pass out, and people have actually drowned from this. Well, the image here is that in the Eastern Orthodox faith, what you're really doing is taking all of your physical motions and activities from food, from your stomach, to your heart, to your interactions with people, and you're training those to where you can reach that state of being really alert to what the Holy Spirit is up to what's going on with the people around you, what their real needs are, not their felt needs, and how to connect to catch something for the kingdom of God, some sort of fruitfulness, some sort of thing that can become an offering when you come up to the surface again. And this is the Eastern Orthodox faith in its pure form. This type of fisherman does not have all the ooh and ah toys, doesn't have the big bass boats, the cool equipment, the cool looking jacket or hat or sunglasses, all the stuff people do, the expensive lures, whatever. It's stripped down, raw, organic, and natural fishing. Probably in more primitive cultures, there's some similar types of fishing that they do. Have you ever gone to a monastery and really just silenced yourself enough and meditated and looked at the icons and prayed long enough to really get into a sense of peacefulness and a sense of prayer where everything is made right? You might get a message from God even in the midst of that. If nothing else, your heart will be put at peace and you will be better focused for the rest of your life. Well, it's the same concept here. And today's topic started out mentioning the concept that you have to be a nobody before you can really be a somebody. And yet sometimes people get that backwards. Sometimes people think that to be somebody, you have to be a somebody. Of course, the upside down kingdom we have here in the Christian faith, the real Christian faith, is that you're supposed to be a nobody in order to be a somebody. And really, it's only when you're being a nobody that you can be anybody at all. The Sermon on the Mount talks about doing your deeds in secret if you want a real reward with God. Well, I found myself in a large church once in the middle of a master's degree I was working on. I had chosen to compare Eastern Orthodoxy, Catholicism, and Protestantism for my master's thesis. Therefore, I was actually enjoying the process. And so when I went into this church that we were trying to attend at the time, I was there at this particular service wanting to jot down some thoughts and notes that I could use to compare the different aspects of the faith. And at this point, I already had been longing to finally jump into Eastern Orthodoxy, where my kids were not really tied in, having moved. They weren't tied into a youth ministry that we liked or anything. Therefore, it was a good time for me to just start going to Orthodox services and things as well. And this master's thesis thing was almost an excuse for me to dive more into Orthodoxy. This was my topic of study. Well, earlier in this same church, I had a crazy image in my head, and it actually stirred up a bunch of emotions in me. I'm not sure if it was from God or not, but there was a visual image in my head. That happens to me sometimes. I'm more of a visual person. And I had this strange sense, as I've mentioned before, of being kind of alienated in this Christian world. So here I was after so many years of doing this and that and some different positions and things, and here I was in this church that we were trying to start attending, looking at some jumbo screen of some pastor who has a nice personality, who everyone loves, and he's on a screen in some other building where he's actually there on stage at the same time. And yet, somewhere in the worship time, I had these tears welling up inside of me, and it wasn't a tears of love for God. It was tears of an alienation to where here I was completely outside of whatever inner cool groups of leadership or ministry was going on at that church. I was kind of a nobody, but it went beyond that in this church. It was this sense of, gosh, I gotta get some position or do some stuff here so I can feel at home here again in a church. Or join some home group or whatever it is. That's what I have to do. And here's the visual image. I felt like I was laying. The image was there was a bunch of forests going up this hillside all the way to these huge mountain peaks that were just a beautiful image in the distance. But where I was kind of down in this field and kind of in this ditch before the edge of the forest even. It was a sense of almost like the victim of the robber. In the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus gives, where I was beat up, I was worn out, and I was laying in a ditch completely outside of what appeared to be in the distance, way in the distance, a city or a place that was kind of a celebratory, joyous place. This city way up the forest, way up past the forest, on the edge of the mountainsides was a lit up type of city where there was rejoicing and happiness, etc. I knew that this was kind of the kingdom of God in my mind. And this was all going on during this music, during this service. And yet here I was, kind of stumbling around in the woods where I had been, and now laying in a ditch, beat up, worn out, and completely away from this world. Well, it was only so many months later when I finally decided to, heck, I'm just going to dive into Eastern Orthodoxy. And guess what I remembered that image of? I remembered that image and that place way up by the mountains, the beautiful place where there was noise and happiness and joy. That was the kingdom of God, and that's what I was headed to. And yet first I pretty much had to be a nobody at that point. And there are many scriptures, of course, to confirm that this humble state is what you need to be at first before God can exalt you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. And thus, when I started tasting of Eastern Orthodoxy more, I started realizing, oh my word, this is that place that I saw in my mind, in that image. This is what I was being drawn to, and yet I had to cry out to God. And that led to weeks of some tears and some wrestling with God over what I'm doing. This is when I was right on the edge of the Eastern Orthodox Church. Isn't that an amazing little image? This brought me to what I know to be the wardrobe where we can enter and touch and taste of the kingdom of God.
I hear laughter above. I have angels who love me. I'm a lucky one for the sins that I committed. Trusting friends I've outwitted. I might have been staring into the barrel of a gun. Grace is an offering more refined than magic does.
Thank you for joining me this time, and we'll pick this up a little more in the next podcast. Take care.
You've been listening to Approaching the Wardrobe with Jeff Wisniewski. Jeff is a former Protestant youth minister and missionary. This podcast is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio on the web at ancientfaith.com.